series of messages a couple of weeks ago, actually, just kind of starting out the new year. Every time we begin a new year, I like to go back just to some foundational truths to share with you. And I pray, I don't just take that for granted, but I pray and seek the Lord as to what He would have me to share. And I happen to be praying this about this particular issue and about these series of messages. And actually, I was praying in general and seeking the Lord's direction, and happened upon a particular message that just really ministered to me about God's Word as seed. And it's so fundamental to everyone's overall walk with God. I was sharing a little bit earlier about how we sometimes have become programmed to hearing a message and learning what somebody else did and trying to make it fit our lives. Have you ever done that and it felt like you were trying to fit a square peg into a round hole? You know, you applied the answer that you heard presented, but it just wasn't working. You know, there are times you'll have the right answer, but you just lack the confidence of knowing it's the right one, and so you waver in your faith. You get double-minded, like James said, and you receive nothing. And it's not necessarily that it's wrong. I always endeavor to minister from the Word of God simple, basic truths so that you can have confidence to employ those truths effectively in your life. Amen? And so that's what I sought the Lord about, and here I am. I got out and began to, actually was out walking. I'm trying to walk to get exercise. I'd rather play golf, but I'm walking. And by the way, I've got a testimony. Yesterday was the 17th, 3 months. I can now lift 20 pounds. Amen. I'm moving on up. And the doctor did say, the assistant rather did say, I can hit golf balls. He said, just don't go crazy. So doesn't mean I'm living on a golf course by any means, but I have been hitting a few balls in our front yard. So if you hear anything on the news about houses getting hit, I'll get my swing straightened out over time, okay? No, hopefully I won't hit anybody's house. I can remember when I first started hitting golf balls years ago, I'd get out in the front yard with a driver. Lord only knows where some of those went. I know they didn't go where I intended most of the time, but I know they went some pretty good distance other times. So, anyway, God is so good. Amen. So we have been talking about God's Word and the fact that God's Word is power. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're told of Him that God who at sundry times, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Here we see the Word of God equated to the ability of God. You could say it this way, God's Word is a container for His power. And we're going to see that a little bit more specifically here, or clearly in just a few minutes. In Romans chapter 1, Paul was speaking, and in verse 14 he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Did you know you're in debt? If you've got the Word of God, you're in debt. You owe it to somebody to share God's Word with them. Amen? He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You ever thought about it? What is the difference? What makes the eternal difference in our lives between eternal damnation and torment and eternal bliss in heaven with God? It's His Word, Jesus. Amen? His Word. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, the word power here is talking about God's own ability, dunamis ability. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that word salvation doesn't just mean that it applies to the new birth and eternal life. It certainly applies there, but it also applies with reference to healing, preservation, soundness, safety, deliverance. In other words, if you need deliverance from something that's oppressing or vexing you in life, God's Word has the power to free you. If you need healing in your physical body, God's Word has power to bring healing. If you need freedom from some kind of mental or emotional torment, God's Word has the ability to set you free. Amen. But can I ask you a question real quick? Even though we acknowledge God's Word has the power to do all these things and so much more we haven't the time to say, How many of you have ever felt otherwise in your experience? How many of you have ever had a time in your experience with the Lord where you saw a need, or maybe you had a need, and you prayed, and initially things got better? You know, maybe it was a situation of healing. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people that don't know a whole lot about faith, but they do know to pray, and so they will reach out to God, they will pray for healing, and at times it'll begin to manifest, but then a couple of weeks later they get a bad report, and it's like the good never happened. We've seen that so often. The things that I'm going to share with you today will teach you how not only to put God's Word and power to work in your life, but how to keep His Word working in your life. Amen? It's one thing to know that His Word has or contains power. It's another thing to know how to derive the benefit that He intended you would from His Word and the power therein. So He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." To who? Everyone that believeth. Amen? Jesus said something of the Word over in Matthew 7, in verse 24, He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Now, He goes on to talk later about the fellow that heard the Word. He went to church, right? I'm taking a little bit of license there. But he heard the Word, but it says he didn't do the Word. And what was the outcome of his dilemma? Storms came upon him. I want you to notice, we're not exempt from storms. And you know what? This would imply to me that when storms come, you don't always have the ability to instantly stop them. But God's Word will sustain you if you'll trust Him in the middle of storms, and you'll outlast them. Amen. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? He said that the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. So Jesus is telling us that God's Word affords us the power to withstand the storms of life. Amen. In James, it tells us something about God's Word, beginning in James 1 in verse 22. He said again, "But be doers of the Word." Notice a little theme here. It's not just hearing the Word. You know, I came along, I renewed my commitment to the Lord and was drawn home afresh back in the era when really there was a revival of the various ministry gifts within the church, and great emphasis was put upon the gift to teach God's Word. Amen. Wasn't necessarily a fivefold ministry, but there were those within the fivefold ministry that had begun to, rather than preaching every message that was offered, had begun to take time to explain. And what a blessing that has been. I tell you, most people, I believe this, most people are sincere. Most people want to do what's right. Who wouldn't want to do what works to their advantage? And yet for years and years in the church, there was such an emphasis upon preaching that if you couldn't get up and give a three-point message, you just weren't fit to be in the pulpit. And teachers were important, but you send them off to Sunday school class, whether they've got the anointing to teach or not. You put them in there. And so teaching was kind of relegated to the back room, and it was diminished. So what you had essentially was this. You had a lot of preachers that were telling people what they ought to do, what they ought to be guilty of or feel guilty for if they're not doing, but they never told them how to do what they told them to do. Very seldom would they do that. What a breath of fresh air if they would, you know, but very seldom. And I love preaching. Don't misunderstand me. Preaching will get your attention. In fact, I used to love this. I had a pastor back at that time that was more of a teacher of God's Word. And I would go to church and I'd hear him Sunday morning teaching God's Word. And then Sunday night I'd come back and we'd have Sunday night services. He'd teach a little bit Sunday night. And then I would rush home. I wanted to be faithful to my church. I wanted, if they had meetings there, I wanted to be there. But I would rush home to hear somebody preach. Because there's just nothing like preaching to stir you up. Amen? You know how you can stir up yourself? Preach to yourself a little bit. Remind yourself that greater is He that's in me. Remind yourself that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Glory to God. Remind yourself that the angels of the Lord compass round about the righteous to deliver him. Glory to Jesus. You know, I had a brief vision. I wasn't even going to mention it, but I will. Just a brief vision. And I believe God right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, is amassing his invasion force to return for you and I. Amen. I mean, as far as I could see, I could just see it looked like clouds. We're told that Jesus will appear in the clouds. Well, it's not talking about these physical clouds. It's talking about the masses of the saints that have preceded us in death in Christ to return with him. They're there to escort Jesus and us back to the Father. The devil's going to think he's got a brief reprieve. But we'll just go back and join forces with Jesus to return and see the consummation of God's plan upon this earth. Amen. Glory to Jesus. So God's word is the power to withstand the storms of life. In James, he says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23 continues, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you know how you'll learn who you really are? Don't judge yourself. Don't measure yourself by your past experience. My Lord, if Moses had done that, Israel would still be in Egypt. Amen? Absolutely. And so who do we measure ourselves by? Look in the mirror. Who does God's word tell you you really are? It tells me I'm the righteous. Do you know what the Bible says about the righteous? It says that the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth him. Amen. The sinners run from their own shadow. But the righteous are bold as a lion. It tells me because of the standing I enjoy with my Father and the fact that he is my Father is due to this as well. By Jesus and his sacrifice, it affords me the ability to stand face to face with my Heavenly Father and converse with him. Doesn't mean I won't fall on my face and worship him. I certainly will. But I can stand eye to eye. I don't know how that affects you, but I grew up so insecure in life. I would hide behind my mom. Even as an adult, I'd catch myself hiding behind my mama sometimes. I'm not proud to admit that, but I'd become so accustomed to it as a child, it was just a reflex. I can remember one time I was out with my mama. This was after I'd gone to Bible school and should have known better. And I was out with my mama, and I saw an ex-girlfriend of mine, and I found myself, it's one of those, you ever do something and you think, why am I doing what I'm doing? But we saw each other, and she was in the line ahead of us at a store, and I found myself backing around my mama to get behind her. I wanted mama to take that bullet. No, I didn't want anybody to take a bullet, but I'm asking myself, why am I doing this? I just couldn't imagine. Because there have been other times that I was out with somebody and a threat presented itself. I got between them. Amen. But there have been a few people in life that it just intimidated me, the very thought of looking them in the eye. But because of Jesus, there will be no intimidation when you have an opportunity to stand before your Father. His work was so complete. His blood, such a perfect sacrifice. Glory to God. And it was for you. Amen. Do you understand? Jesus, everything he did was for you because he already had a relationship with the Father. He put it on the line to make sure you'd have one. Glory to God. So in James, he's talking to us, and he says, the word of God is a mirror to us. Verse 24 says, he beholdeth himself. That's who you see when you look in the word. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, my experience doesn't bear witness. Well, bring your experience into line. Amen. How do you do that? Do you renew your mind to transform your life? How do you renew your mind to the word of God? How do you do that? You act like it's true, everything it says about you. You act like you've got a right to approach the throne room of God and pray, expecting grace, because Jesus bought it. You didn't earn it. You couldn't if you had to. It wouldn't matter if you somehow managed to remain flawless in your conduct and in terms of what we would say sinless in your conduct. You still, because of having been born of the flesh and ultimately of Adam's seed after the flesh, you could never earn. Amen? Boy, doesn't that take some pressure off? I believe it does. So he says down here, he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But listen to this, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So he's saying that by acting upon God's word, we release the power of God to effect blessing, to cause our efforts to prosper and succeed. That's good news, isn't it? You know, you need to quit saying of yourself that everything I touch falls apart. Unless it's mountains that are in your way. You need to quit saying that about yourself. God says otherwise. You know what he says about you? He says whatever you put your hand to will prosper as you meditate upon his word. And the reason you meditate upon his word is so you can be a doer, not a hearer only, right? Well, in Joshua 1:7, God himself said this of his word and its power. He said, by way of instruction to Joshua, he said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. What does that mean, observe to do? I believe it means a number of things, but one thing it means is to see how to do. Sometimes we sit here and, well, Pastor, you tell me I need to be a doer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. I don't know how. Well, Jesus has made wisdom to you. And furthermore, James said, if you lack wisdom, what is wisdom? It's the ability to effectively employ knowledge. One thing to possess a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of people got a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom. How do you know that? Because they're not doing what knowledge would dictate. Sound knowledge, Bible knowledge, amen. Well, glory to God. You with me still? All righty. So he says, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, it's interesting because on the one hand, God says that the result of wisdom employed back in Proverbs will be riches and on the other, riches and wealth. On the other hand, it'll be honor and life. And so what's he telling you? He's saying, when you start acting upon God's word, don't be surprised at the benefits that are produced, and don't get distracted by them. You know, in the parable of the sower, it doesn't just talk about the word getting choked out by storms, but it talks about people becoming distracted by the good things that happen, the blessings, the prosperity. And that's what he's essentially telling. He's saying, I know that it's inevitable that blessings are going to come, Joshua, but don't get distracted because there's more to come as long as you stay focused. So he says down here, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In the verse before, I believe it was, he said that he would make his way prosperous. Not God, but he would. How do you make your way prosperous? By applying God's word, acting upon God's word. So God himself is saying that his word possesses within it the power to prosper wherever you go. Well, you just don't know. They're holding me down at work. Well, prosper where you're at. Believe God where you're at. You know, why would you want to go further if you're not doing good there? Amen. Who's bigger, your boss or God? Believe God to prosper. What does it mean to prosper? We looked up the definition on this, and this word prosper means to move forward, to advance, and to break out. There may not be anybody else ever been at your level to move forward and break out. Doesn't mean you can't. How is it you're going to do it? By acting upon God's word. Amen. Glory to God. When you do what you do as unto the Lord, you're doing that in faith. That gives God license. And that gives his word the ability to release into your life and into your experience the power that it contains. Amen. Now, Israel proved this same principle in reverse in terms of, instead of moving forward and breaking out, they drew back into bondage through their disobedience. Listen to this. Jeremiah 7, verse 23 says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Amen. In other words, they did what seemed right to them. Do you understand when it says their evil heart? Your unrenewed mind represents an evil heart in that it's at war with God. That's why you've got to bring your thought life and your actions into line with God. And a lot of times what will happen is before your thoughts will line up, you got to act like the word's true. We'll see that in a few minutes, okay? So God's word has the power to sustain you through the storms of life. It has the power to bring blessing and upon your efforts in life, bring success to you. It has the power to enable you to advance in life and to break out. Break out of the molds, amen? That's good news. Now, one way that we've come to understand that we can learn more effectively of God's word and its application in our life is to go back and look at how God compared his word to various things within the word. Amen. Does that make sense? In other words, for example, in Psalms 119, we're told that the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What does that mean? It means God's word, when we meditate upon it, because it's the entrance of his word that giveth light. You know, you open up your Bible, it doesn't glow at night, right? If I need a flashlight, I grab a flashlight. I don't grab my Bible. So what's it mean that his word is a light? It means that it enables us to gain spiritual perception of eternal realities, God's word. And it tells us where we're at, and it shows us the path we need to follow. So it's a light, a lamp under our feet, a light under our path. It's compared to water and food. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus talked about those, well, I believe by the Holy Spirit over in Hebrews 5, that had need of milk and not strong meat. They weren't quite mature enough to handle the meat. Amen. Paul instructed husbands concerning their wives as Christ concerning the church, or similar to Christ in the church, and spoke of the washing of the water by the word of God, so it washes. We already saw in James that God compared his own word to a mirror. It can show you who you really are. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like that. I can remember when I was a kid, we used to go to the fair down in Bradenton. In fact, it's fair time in Bradenton. I keep threatening to go down there again. They got some of the best barbecue beef I've ever had anywhere at that fair. Food memories. That idiot Savant thing coming up. Anyway, I can remember one of the neatest things about those fairs was I was a real skinny kid. I know that's hard to believe, but I was real skinny. My mama used to threaten to take me to the doctor if I didn't stop playing and come eat because I was so skinny. I was so frail. And mama wasn't any better, honestly. I mean, she wasn't quite as skinny as me. But anyway, I'd go down to these fun houses at the fair. I could look in the mirror, and I looked anything but skinny. You know, they distorted my... The truth is, the image of yourself you have developed in this world by your natural senses and understanding and intellect is warped. This mirror gives you the true vision. It's the opposite of what that mirror at the funhouse did. Amen. Glory to God. Can you imagine a kid, anybody that wanted to see themselves bigger? I didn't like getting shots, and that's what the threat was. That was the threat of going to the doctor. Amen. Lastly, he compares his word to seed in the New Testament. In fact, in 1 Peter, it talks about in chapter 1, verse 23, that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Boy, there's so much power in that verse. You ever stop to think about this? We're a lot more knowledgeable about the environment today. We understand that there are certain places that have become polluted to the point that they just won't even sustain any life. You know, I don't know about how many, I grew up in, even back in elementary school, they started talking about Superfund sites. What was it? Love Canal was one. And what it is industry used to just wash its waste and byproducts out into the waterways. And things like, well, up in, example up in Tennessee, there are rivers up there that are beautiful. They're crystal clear. But they're contaminated because of the production of things like chlorodyne. Anybody remember what chlorodyne was? Chlorodyne was a poison they used to use because it had a half-life about like a nuclear bomb or something. You know, it was a poison that they used to use. My dad would get it and sprinkle it all over our house. It was good for getting rid of roaches. It was good for getting rid of lawn pests, things like that. We about bathed in this stuff. And it was akin to DDT. Anybody remember what DDT was? Well, see, we've become familiar with the fact that certain areas in our nation have become polluted, and they've tried to reclaim them, but some places they're just having to let that stuff melt away. There's nothing they can do about it because it so permeates the environment. Do you know that God's Word, it's uncorruptible seed, God's Word, the nature of this seed is such that you can put it in toxic soil, the heart of a sinner, and it'll produce a saint. It changes the soil. If they're willing to receive that seed and act upon it, it will change the very soil. What if you could do that today? My Lord, you know what a farmer would do for seed that he could put in the ground that had within itself the capacity, when nurtured and watered, to produce and to transform that lifeless, dead soil into something productive? Because really, when you think about it, a sinner is spiritually dead. What happens when God's Word is received in the heart of a sinner? They become a living being. Glory to God. That's the kind of power within His Word. So, in Luke chapter 8 as well, Jesus was speaking. And it's kind of interesting because He said that our understanding of God's Word and how it works is essentially a basis for understanding anything else about our relationship with the Father or His plans for humanity. He's talking about the parable of the sower. He said in verse 10 of Luke 8, He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What happened was He shared the parable of the sowers, or the sower, and the disciples didn't quite get it. I don't know about you, I'm still working on it too. But they didn't quite get it. And so they said, explain this to us. And he's beginning to explain it. He said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Amen. The seed is the Word of God. What are some things that we can understand about God's Word when we approach it in the context of its comparison by God Himself with seed? Well, what is seed? What is natural seed? Natural seed is, what an incredible little package is in a natural seed. You know, you look at, what is it, the Century Oak downtown? That grew out of an acorn. You know, go down there and look at that thing sometime and pick up an acorn and ask yourself how all that could have been in here. Only God could fit so much in a little package. Amen. Glory to God. There's some of you that you got those seeds of God's Word in you that maybe haven't even produced yet. Been just laying dormant in there, but there's coming such a move of God in these last days that if you'll pay attention, these things are gonna begin to sprout up in your life. It'll be like those deserts that bloom. Amen. I can remember Billy Brim recently talking about, just a few years ago, talking about going to Israel, and they had just uncharacteristic rains, and it was in the spring, and They took her out. She said the storms were so bad that there was a little lady that was down on a dock, the Sea of Galilee, down at this dock, and she nearly got blown off. The winds were so strong, the rains were so driving, and she said, and we were taking a tour, and they took us out, and they showed us this lush, beautiful valley. And the tour guide told them, said, what you're seeing is desert land. He said, until these rains, that was desert, and as far as our recent history, back into the 40s, Israel, remember, was reestablished as a nation in 48. He said, back into the 40s, that was barren land till this day. He said, but this year the rains came. The rains came. The rains are coming. Amen. I tell you what, in the rains here, the anointing of God is upon His Word. The Spirit of God is here. Because He's wanting to do something in your life. He doesn't want you just to be a spectator and sit back and watch others derive the benefit He intended for you. There's enough for them and you. That's good news, isn't it? And He's no respecter of persons. So He says down here of His Word that it's seed. And as seed, there are two points that we want to understand. Seed contains power or ability and life. Amen. And it's even got a blueprint within it. Do you know the Century Oak? They call it that because it's over 100 years old, right? when it was an acorn, God could look at it and see that. You know what you can see in God's Word? Anything He declares of you. You can see yourself healed, but it's just a seed. I don't see. Well, you know, you plant it, you water it, you nurture it. Because you ever notice that? It doesn't matter how much power there is in a seed. What if somebody had never planted that acorn? That oak wouldn't be today. Seed will not bring forth and produce of itself on its own. Robin and I, every now and then, we used to grow gardens, and we'd go down to the feed store and just, you know, it's kind of like kids in a candy store, because it's so much easier to garden in theory. And it was like the sky was the limit. And we could go look down there in those bins and just gaze at them for, it seemed like days. We didn't literally, but seemed like it. You know, all the times I went down there and looked in those buckets of seed, I never saw any of it sprouting. And in fact, some of it looked so dusty, it looked like it might have been centuries old. And you wondered if it could produce. But do you know that even in the pyramids of Egypt, they've dug up ancient grains. They planted them. I mean, thousands of years old, this stuff. They planted it, and it grew. There's been a little bit of revival here in recent years, in some of the health food industries, because they're going back to some of these ancient grains that were natural and not the product of man's engineering. God always does it better. And so, I better get on with this, hadn't I? Glory to God. God's Word is a container. It's got power in it. How do you get the power out of God's Word? Listen to this. And I'm just going to give you these verses very quickly. I want to read through this that attest to the fact that God's Word is power. How many of you would like more power in your life? How did you like the power to change your life? Power to change it for the better. It's in God's Word. Why wouldn't God do that for you? He sent His Son. Amen. And in fact, He says of us as the Gentiles in the church today that He wants to use us by His blessing upon us. He wants to use us to provoke Israel to jealousy. You know, there's a lot of people think you can't prosper in this earth unless you're a Jewish lawyer or a doctor or tax, you know, a tax accountant or something like that. God says that your benefits, your blessings ought to provoke them to jealousy. And listen, I believe in some ways as a nation we've achieved that. When Israel needs help, what nation have they turned to? They've sought our assistance. Why is that? Because God has so richly blessed us. Glory to God. And so yet God wants to bless you still. He's not changed His mind. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That means God hasn't withdrawn them. Glory to God. He made it as easy as He could because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That means you don't have to convince God you deserve it. He knows you don't, but He gave it anyway. Amen. Glory to God. Now through faith you release it. You don't earn it, but God gave it to you because He's God, not because you're wonderful. He loves you. You ever heard a face only a mother could love? We were that. Except it was our Father, God, that loved us, right? So Luke 1:37, this is out of the American Standard Version, says, no word from God shall be void of power. In other words, it will not be empty. Doesn't matter how many times you've heard it, how many times you've acted upon it, God's Word has power. Do you know that when you read the Word of God and it says, husbands, love your wives, that's an invitation to release the miracle working and power of God into your marriage, into your situation. When it tells us as slaves to obey our masters, now we're not slaves today, but really that's talking about those that are in employment to others in a relationship where they've got a boss. It says that as you do that in faith, not with eye service before men, but as unto the Lord, it says that you've got the power to release God's miracle-working power from His Word into your situation. Every time you think to act upon God's Word, every time you... Do you know what it means when God tells you in a situation where somebody has done you wrong and God says, bless those that curse you, pray for them that despitefully... Do you know what God's telling you to do? He's saying, turn My power loose on them. Turn My power loose. When God says, forgive, He's saying, release My power You may know how that's going to turn up in the natural, but put something supernatural to your advantage to work in that. Release my power in it. Do you know what I found when the Lord told me to forgive people would happen? God would do things that just blow my mind. I just never anticipated what God was going to do. I finally figured out that God's ability released through my obedience was far greater. His mercy, His grace was far more capable than my bitterness and unforgiveness. And I've never regretted the outcome when I chose to forgive. Why? When I did it as unto the Lord. Why? Because it released His power to transform that situation. It removes you from victimhood and makes you more than a conqueror. Amen. Glory to God. We got all this power. What are we going to do with it? We need to learn how to turn it loose, don't we? Amen. Glory to God. And we'll talk about that next week. We are plumb out of time. Boy, we just need about 2 more hours. I'm all the way up to page 11 out of 22. Well, we'll get there, okay? Boy, it's so hard. Y'all spoil me. Praise God. Amen. Robin, you ready? Ready or not? Y'all spoil me. Y'all make it so easy to sit here and minister the word. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that y'all are hungry enough that you put a draw upon God's ability to minister through me. Amen. Listen, I wouldn't get up here if it was just me. I quit college twice because they required me to speak publicly. Honestly, I honestly did. I just could not bring. I could speak from the back of the class with my head down, but I couldn't speak from the front. I just didn't have the confidence to do it. And so, thank you, amen.